The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 246. I am your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I am joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Brian Monjoma.
What's up?
This motherfucker, wait, like, yo, he's going to say some ill shit. All right, people, so as you can see, things have changed around here because we got tired of fucking Hangouts as bullshit, man. We're doing this on Discord, so I hope you guys don't find the changes too crazy, you know. And also forgive me for the slow intro because now I got to, like, click on everybody individually. By the way, it's funny, when I introduced Chris, there's just this big fucking Discord logo. We got to get Bruno Gohan back, man.
Yeah, we got to get you back, man.
You know?
You guys notice we have a lot more real estate on the screen, you know, a lot more people in there. So it's good stuff.
Yeah. Keeps me busy, though, because now I got to click on fucking everybody. Like, it's not like a Hangouts where it does it automatically. So it's all good.
I feel like you just kind of focus on whoever, you know, like every so often move it around. But yeah.
Yeah. But I like, man. Adam will be here later talking about SummerSlam. And as I predicted, Brett isn't here because he's probably confused. You know, these things happen. All right, man, let's get to some questions. So first up, we got Mr. Johnny W. Uppercut. His only question of the week is, if you guys had the ability to design a theme park based on video games, which game would you choose as your attraction?
You know, it's kind of already happening, but the Mario franchise, the Super Mario franchise?
Yeah. The Epic Universal. They showed the concept art.
They showed the concept of what?
The concept art of the park. Mm. And there's a Nintendo area, you know, with like Bowser's Castle and a big indoor thing that's probably Mario Kart.
Yeah, how about a God of War theme park? That'd be crazy.
I mean, maybe an alternate reality world where bloody violence inside of a theme park was cool.
Yeah, maybe you could have had a theme park like that back when Sonic the Hedgehog actually was good, you know?
You can kind of do a Sonic thing. I feel like it, theme parks work for sort of kid-friendly things. Like, there's not a lot of theme parks that are just devoted to more adult-ish sort of things, you know?
Yeah. Yo, man, what about Banjo-Kazooie, man?
Yeah, I mean, you sure? But, I mean, to be honest, I feel like the franchise is, at least for younger people, is not at that point. So it would be kind of a little bit weird to kind of do that. I think if they were going to do it, it would have to be within the zeitgeist to do it.
My stomach just hurt at an answer, but I don't want to say it. But I'm going to say it anyway. Fortnite.
Oh, shit.
I could see it working. The theme park looks like the world of the game, you know? You have the characters running
around. And then you have a lot of the character, or what are the skins walking around, right? Yeah,
and you have,
so you have like a guy in a suit and all that stuff. But then again, they're also walking around with guns.
They're kind of fake guns anyway, but
yeah.
Maybe tone down.
Give them big Nerf guns.
Yeah, exactly. Give them big Nerf guns.
If it was probably Nerf guns, and you probably could get away with doing Overwatch as well, like an idea that where you have the like costume characters walking around.
And I think Fortnite, you could have a bunch of people dancing around doing those stupid memes, mm-hmm. you know?
Dances. I think one of the most popular ones would be Minecraft.
A whole world looking like blocky.
It's like Legoland, but different. but really the same, because you can make it anything. Like, there's really no sort of themes you have to, like, abide towards with Minecraft, because it's just really create your own world. So it can be anything, really.
I feel like they would probably just sort of keep it to things that are kind of known by people, that are just general things. You know, like a character that looks somewhat like, you know, like the enemies of the game, you know, and all that stuff. You'd see those things walking around.
Yeah. Yeah, and they can do, like, a lot of collaborations with other IPs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. By the way, it has to be kid friendly, right? Because I'm thinking like a GTA park.
No,
around, you know. CJ.
So, like I said, in our world, certain things will not exist. But in, you know, like I, you know, what if Disneyland decided to do a Kingdom Hearts area? Mm. I mean, to be honest, I don't know why they haven't done anything Kingdom Hearts related.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they barely talk about it yet. Kingdom Hearts is doing so well, you know.
Kingdom Hearts does really well for them. Does really well. The games do really well. They've only recently started getting into merchandise and all that stuff. But I think the biggest issue with Kingdom Hearts is the fact that Square is a partial owner of it, and they have to. You know, Disney doesn't like to share.
Yeah, exactly. Brian, what about a Warframe park?
No, I was actually thinking more of a Dark Souls park.
Oh,
just pure
horror.
Give everyone nightmares. Yeah, it's a nightmare world, man.
Great.
Chris will visit that shit like twice a year, man.
Oh, yeah.
That could be the park for the kids.
Yeah, not for the kids.
But yeah, it's funny because you don't actually see, there's no such thing as a horror or more of an adult related amusement park. A lot of it is just all sort of family-friendly sort of stuff.
Well, you know, they probably do that on purpose, you know?
Well, yeah, they do that on purpose. You don't want to scare the kids too badly where they don't want to come back.
Yeah. Because I'm pretty sure that's where they get most of their money from, you know? The key is...
Exactly. Having families, you know, think about it. If you have a mom, a dad, and a kid, that's three tickets that you got to pay for. And especially if the family's a lot larger.
Oh, yeah, forget about it. They make money. You know,
money.
All right. That's why those movies make so much money. Those are like family friendly sort of movies, because you got to bring a squad with you.
That's right. Yeah, you got to spend a lot.
even if most of the kids are probably half price. That's still a lot of money.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you guys want to add to this? I think pretty much covered it. All right. Moving on. Black Metal Gamer. So his first question is, if you could travel back in time and show any past civilization our modern gaming technology, who, what, and where would you go? His answer is he wants to go back to the Spanish Inquisition and show them Dante's Inferno. So, yeah, this is a weird question. By the way, who the fuck is
Brett?
It was indeed me.
Yes. Hello, Brett. How are you, man?
Yo. I'm upset. I've been unable to locate my Switch since the move.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's not good.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, no, everybody else seems to be, don't worry, it'll turn up. I'm like, I'm
not saying that. So, by the way, did you move your shit or you have some movers do it for you?
Movers.
Motherfuckers be like, ooh, I got myself a new Switch.
Dude, I'm saying.
I'm going to say, I mean, you know, like, whenever, it's funny because, like, I hopefully, you know, it's just misplaced somewhere. But, man, like, when it comes to, you know, like, sensitive sort of stuff, don't ever let those guys move that shit.
I swear, I don't think that I did, but, like, I've been through every one of my boxes. I'm like, man, like, unless it's hiding it, like, I haven't unpacked all of them, but I've been through just about all of them. I'm like, man, I'm not finding it. It's starting to make me real nervous.
I don't like this. Anyway, I'll repeat the question for you, Brett. If you could travel back in time and show any past civilization our modern gaming technology, who, what, or where would you go? And for example, Black Metal Gamer says he'd like to go to the Spanish Inquisition to show them Dante's Inferno.
I mean, if you want to be burned as a witch, sure.
What is this? Sorcery!
Go ahead. I think you bring up a good point. It's like, if you go back to show this technology to, like, past civilizations, they're going to think you're a warlock or a witch and probably kill you.
Well, no, not all of them. Like the Mayans, I believe, much to their success, viewed outside technologies as things to be worshipped, I believe, and that didn't work so well. I'm not saying it worked well. I'm just saying, Mayans, Aztecs, you might get more of like a "Are you a god?" kind of treatment. Pretty much anywhere medieval Europe is probably a bad idea.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, I mean, past the time travel part, powering it, if we go into the past. Like, I can't just plug in PS4 and be like, "Yo, guys, check this out. Let me go back to ancient Norway and be like, yo, I have this game, God of War. Is it?"
You guys turn this big wheel so I can play.
Hey, Matty.
That's right.
Take your Switch, man. You only have 2.5 to 3 hours to present your
to be honest, right?
You're not going to take Brett's Switch.
To be honest, Brett.
Maybe you already did.
Older. to be honest, you probably you could bring back even like a console that is not like even that impressive to them, and they'd be like, "Oh, what?
What is this Atari 2600? You know,
yeah,
what is this sorcery? Moving images."
You want to hear a fucked up answer?
Uh-oh.
What?
You go to the late 1930s, early 1940s.
I was just about to say this.
Uh-oh.
And you show them like a World War II game. It's like, yeah, this is what's about to happen.
And ooh.
It's like they based this video game off of this period, and it's not going to be any good.
And then you find out you're the one that started World War II, and they saw that shit, like, dude, that's fucking awesome. Let's go.
I mean, this could become a classic time travel question. But like, could you go back and go to Hitler while he was still a painter and be like, "I know you're frustrated, but if you keep doing the things that you're thinking about doing, this happens." Right? You think you just play the campaign and be like, "Ah, fuck it."
Oh shit! Imagine that. Y'all pick up an Xbox controller. You know, talking shit, like, eating Doritos.
Yo, Adolf, like, this isn't a multi-ending scenario. There's only one ending.
One ending, man. Yeah, it's like, "Hey, Hitler, we going to Poland today?" "Nah, I gotta play Halo, man."
Yeah.
That's it. You come out of time, everything's all fucked up. You know, it's like there's mutants everywhere just because you didn't let Hitler do.
Yeah, dude, like, you know? He ends up, like, time travel to the future, he was the first very charismatic streamer later.
Oh, shit.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but then he got canceled because he said the N-word instead of grocery store.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Oh, God. Oh, man. All right, any other answers to this?
Oh,
is that Adam? Excuse me?
Excuse me?
Oh, we got the full house right now, man.
See, my fucking Yeti mic. I had a bunch of kids over playing fucking machines, and they knocked my mic down from my desk, and the shit broke.
Uh-oh.
See, look, it's at the top here. Yeah, fucking, I got a limp mic.
Yo, Adam, that shit happens to men your age, man. It's perfectly natural, you know?
I can't take a pill for this shit.
Yo, man, you got to learn the lesson, man. The kid, the dad's room is not the Play Wonderland. Lock that place down.
This kid, the neighbor kid, came over and he was like, "Oh my god!" He saw all the stuff around the games. He was like, "I need to start spending the night here. I need sleepovers." I'm like, "I don't think so."
Yeah, I've been sleeping with little kids, Adam. Man, what the fuck?
Well, now you're breaking my shit. Now you ain't never coming back.
I'm telling you. Yeah, he was like, "Oh, Titanfall. I want to play Call of Duty." I'm like, "Yeah, hey, you're not playing this." And but he
you shouldn't even know what those words mean.
Exactly.
Dude, this is gonna be the whole show now. Just watching Adam struggle. Shit. What is a limp mic?
Is more stuff broken? Are you like finding shit all over your?
It's falling off. I was messing with it, and now it's like the bottom is loosening.
Damn.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, anyway, let's move on. Where the fuck are we? Okay. How important is it for Gears of War 5 to score high on Metacritic? If it doesn't score well, could this further damage Xbox's reputation?
Could it?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I don't think there's anything else to ruin. It's already tarnished, you know? It can't hurt.
I feel like a lot of it needs to be really tempered because everybody's going to be expecting this kind of tour de force game. I think people need to really just kind of cool it and just accept the game as it is instead of just like, it's got to be the greatest game everywhere. Xbox is done.
We talked about this before, how the problem is like, since Xbox doesn't really have a lot of like big exclusives, every time one does come out, it's expected to be the greatest, biggest game of all time. Like all their games kind of have unfair expectations thrown on them, you know?
It got Sea of Thieves got it, which it shouldn't have.
It shouldn't have, yeah.
Crackdown got it and it shouldn't have, you know? And I'm hoping that I know that Gears of War is one of their, big cornerstone sort of franchises, but I also feel like the last game was not up to par with the previous ones. I know people liked it.
It's just got to change up, but it's one of those things where it's what's expected. You expect certain things from Xbox. You expect a Halo game, a Forza game, and a Gears game. Mm-hmm. So even if they can just get half that audience back every time there's another outing, they'll be fine.
Yo, by the way, completely off topic, Adam, why is your video quality so shitty tonight? I wonder if it's because of Discord or maybe the kids did something on your end.
No, the only thing they messed with was with the mic. The mic felt that was attached to my desk, but nothing on my computer. Man.
Interesting.
I mean, it's just this kind of the way it happens. The video
Adam's usually crisp, Anyway, so yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's an interesting. When it comes to Metacritic, you guys know how I feel about that, but. Yeah, it is, just to be fair, it is unfair that every Xbox exclusive is, touted to be the greatest thing of all time, and that is very unfair,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I also think it is reality. If Gears scores anything below, let's say, an 85, it's going to be deemed like a failure.
Yo, what was the last one? Actually, I'll look it up. Go ahead, Carlos.
Gears 4.
What was the score on it? I'll look it up.
So it's just the optics of the whole situation because like you guys mentioned, like these other exclusives, Xbox exclusives like Sea of Thieves, Crackdown, and what was that one? The one with the robots.
MechWarrior? No. Oh my god, I'm forgetting the name. The one
single
by,
player.
The one by what's his face? Mikami, right? Not Mikami.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. The Mighty Number 9 guy. Same studio.
That's right.
Record. All these games got judged and sort of people were just waiting with them with their arms crossed around their chest, and it's like, oh, these are like the last great big hope for Microsoft. And they were just mediocre games for the most part, and they kind of reflected that in the review scores. So you just got like mid 70s around that range. So people are thinking, okay, this is like not good. And then Microsoft has sort of their big three, Forza, Gears, and Halo, as sort of their these we expect to score high, because Microsoft is sort of like. Yeah, don't worry. Like these are mid-tier games. Our big games are always going to be good, and Forza is always going to get an 80 to 90 score, and Gears too. But if this one doesn't, I think it's going to be bad news.
What do you think Gears of War 4 scored?
Probably like around an 86.
Nope.
Lower?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh damn! What was it?
84.
Oh, dude.
We're still in the 80s though. It depends on the direction that they go in. Remember, this is this from what they showed off. It looked like it was like a Dark Souls type. Remember, that's what they were going for with that type of combat. So if they change it up, then yeah. And it looks like they're doing everyone on the right track of removing all of the microtransactions. Except that it's going to year one or whatever, all that content's going to be free. Start splitting. That always makes people happy to buy another game, more bang for their buck, and it's also part of Game Pass. So,
Game Pass.
Adam, do you think it'll be really bad if this game doesn't score well?
It could be, but remember, they have a dedicated studio just for this. It's a Coalition that ripped off the Coalition website.
You know.
That lawsuit, that lawsuit is still pending right now. Copyright infringement. Yeah, but yeah, because that came after. Remember, that was a different studio.
That was. It was Black Tusk
before. Yeah, Black Tusk. And then they just rebranded and everything. So, you know, Gary Swabey's looking into it. So we'll see what happens. But I think they're expanding that franchise out of this. You know, we've that horrible Funko game that's coming. We got the RTS that looks interesting, and they just never talked about it again. So maybe it got canceled. For all I know, it could be canceled, that RTS. I'm holding my breath for nothing.
They announced, that's when they announced like five Gears games in one year.
That's what I'm saying. They announced a shitload of like, you're like, you know what? We're expanding the universe. We got one coming for your fridge, and we got one coming for the phone.
We have a bunch of Gears games that you don't give a shit about.
Gears for everybody.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Oh, man. By the way, shout out to All Day Digital, man. All Day. When we were doing the E3 stream for the Microsoft press conference last year, Phil Spencer mentions, like, yeah, we're gonna announce, like, 29 or, I don't know, some number of new Xbox exclusives. And then he's like, yo, man, watch 10 of them be Gears of War games. I mean, it wasn't 10, but it wasn't far off.
But you know what? It just makes sense because that's sort of what they did with Halo. So they're like, well, if we have a studio dedicated to just this brand, this franchise, they got to make everything. We got to get the Monopoly version. We got to get all of it.
Monopoly version.
You know what's going to happen. We got a movie coming. You know, we got Batista over here trying to knock on everybody's door in Hollywood, trying to get that role as Marcus Fenix, which I think he should get. I think he would be perfect.
That'd be cool, yeah.
That would be. So we'll see what happens. But then, what was it? We got a TV show coming? Oh, that's the Halo one. But anyway, I think they put too much money behind it. I'm sure the testers that they have are through the wazoo that have probably spent hours, weeks, and months testing it, saying, you know, every chapter, yeah, we're giving the thumbs up. It's not going to be one of those games where it's like, all right, we had two or three guys, they sort of liked it. All right, push it out. You know what I mean? Like, this is, they put too much money behind it. If this shit doesn't float, then they're in serious trouble. Like Crackdown, they knew that shit would, and that's why they kept pushing it back. We haven't had any of those issues. Knock on wood, they think it's on the up and up.
I mean, the biggest issue,
the game drops next month, and we still don't know anything about it. You know,
we know it's a Gears game. That's
the
all
biggest,
we need to know.
The biggest issue with Gears
a butter series
was that Adam didn't test it.
Yeah, I didn't need to test. I give it a seal of approval right there. That's it. It's got matzo. Let's do it.
I'm just saying, maybe it's losing its luster.
They can't.
Well, I don't know. Tell that to the people who didn't like Judgment. You know,
those people didn't even play it. Large majority of people I know that never played it. I could check their chivos, and those bitches never play. I knew them. I knew these dudes. That shit was wet. And I go in there, and I go and I troll their site, and I take a look.
By that logic, didn't play it. Like at all, or just much?
What?
Like you said, like they didn't even turn it on.
Didn't even want to play. No, it wasn't even in their played game list. They never played it. They just shit on it because it's not the part of the official franchise. It's a side piece, and they're like, nah, fuck, I'm not getting. No, it's garbage, man. It's garbage. Bullshit. No, play it. It's a good game. It's a fun game. A lot of elements from that series made it into Gears 4 and 5. A lot of stuff that they added from Horde mode, where you can get the stacks, and then you can go and get different items out. Quit barbed wire and do all those things. That was in Judgment.
It's interesting. I gotta play that game. I have Judgment. I haven't played it. Everybody's Judgment like, is so- yeah. Everybody's Joe like, yo, don't play that shit. It's whack, man.
Nah, they smoke crack rock.
Yo, man. So Adam, you think they should rename the game to Gears of War Pre-Judgment?
Oh shit.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Why not? Fuck it,
yeah, man.
Let's go.
Yeah, because you're prejudging it. You know.
You're playing it and they judge it.
There's a great backstory. All your questions in the Gear universe get answered.
Let's just be honest. Not a lot of people care about that.
Damn.
I know. They didn't care. But I care. I got the audio books and stuff.
I feel like after one, that it wasn't like a thing anymore. You know, like in other words, everybody was like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, it's just
guys
with
guns.
Game.
Yeah, guys with guns. Whatever. You know.
All around me are millions.
All right, let's move on. Actually, I'm going to ask the first question to Brett and Adam since you guys weren't here. If you guys had the ability to design a theme park based on a video game or video games, which game or games would you choose as your attractions?
BioShock.
Oh, that's damn.
Oh, dude. Bridges. I think Bridges
stole it. Oh, that's the mic.
That's the mic. That's
a lot of kids. That was good. I would go with Mario Kart, and everybody gets little carts and gets to like ride around and stuff. That'd be kind
of that's a good one too.
Brett, which that's one? It wouldn't be infinite, right?
No, oh, God, no.
And you get the hooks and just
you know, with all of its racism.
Yeah. Good old timey racism.
Come to Columbia, and then it's like, oh no, don't go to Columbia.
Go back.
Throw stone.
Yeah,
it's more Disney's department anyway.
Oh my God, that's a perfect answer because that thing is already a theme park, you know. All right, knock that out the water. So let's move on here to G Megaforce 1, 2, 3. So his first question is: why are there so many Japanese games with God as the final boss? Persona, Bayonetta, Xenogears, Final Fantasy Adventure, Silent Hill, Earthbound, Grandia, Breath of Fire, and more have you literally kill God? Is it some Japanese culture thing I don't understand?
Gears of War did it too. I mean, God of War. Yeah, gods.
Well, no, in those Japanese games, it's literally like a Christian god that you're killing. I think it's because of their disconnection.
I don't remember that in Silent Hill. What Silent
Which
Hill
one?
Did you get that far? A lot of people rage quit that game.
No, I beat all of them.
What? So
I don't remember that.
All right, Silent Hill notwithstanding, I was going to say the same thing, man. It's like, it's not, you know, to them, it's not really part of their culture. It's like, hey, it's just the god to use, you know?
It's like equivalent to us making a game where you kill a giant Buddha, which I'm sure there has been one, right?
You know?
I think it's because of their disconnection from it. They just see it as externally as this thing, you know, like almost like a fairy tale that they don't that doesn't exist in their world, and that's why it's always there. I also think that they're not as sensitive about what would be considered blasphemy over here in the States and more religious sort of places.
I'm going to challenge you. Are we sure it's the Judeo-Christian God? Like, what is it? Like a big man in a white robe and a big fluffy beard? Like, how do we know that it's not in that and we're just not interpreting it that way because of our Western upbringing?
What were the games that he mentioned again?
Persona, Bayonetta, Xenogears, Final Fantasy Adventure, Silent Hill, Earthbound, Grandia, Breath of Fire.
Well, no, Bayonetta, you definitely fucking kill God.
Yeah, I've never played any of those.
Yeah.
Well, like I know what a lot of them. I can't say for certain which ones, but here's my opinion on it. First of all, it is a cultural difference, but it's not that they're portraying the Christian God Yahweh as the antagonist. What they're doing is they're portraying a creator deity as the antagonist, which is
that's their hidden thing. I don't think it's a hidden thing. Officially call it God, but I mean, come on, what are you doing in Bayonetta? You're killing angels. And you collect their halos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're purposely using the iconography.
They're purposely using the iconography. And the idea is that the idea in Bayonetta is that angels are, you know, angels and God and all this stuff were a lot different than everybody thought. And that's the way they sort of get away with it. Well, it's like, oh, okay. It's like, oh, God isn't exactly what you thought he was.
That's not how Earthbound is.
How does Earthbound work?
Earthbound's like a Gaia. It's a creator god, and like I think it's the big difference is the big G little G thing. Like we think through a Western point of view that any god that creates firmament is the Judeo-Christian god, and in Japanese and like Shinto religion, like a god is just the ultimate version of a being. That's why in animes you hear him scream like, "I have become a god." Like, you don't have to be omnipotent and all-powerful and all of these things to technically become a god. You just have to be, like, the apex entity head and shoulders above other ones. Or a perfect being is considered a god. Or something of power so much more so than the thing that you're fighting. Lording over. Like, that's considered a god. So, and a lot of these, at least in my opinion, like, it's not even the one true god. Like, you're just you're coming to the echelon, the head of the universe, and that is going to be the creator controller of that universe. I think it's small g, not big g. I think that's the big difference. There are a few games like Diablo, Bayonetta that really, I mean, the Japanese do absolutely love the Christian story because they think it's super interesting. But
yeah, because it's sort of like foreign. It's like a,
that's how I see it. Like,
it's a foreign idea for them.
Because it's cool to them. It's like, yeah, that's cool. I'll use that. You know, the same way we use like foreign stuff in our works. They're doing the same thing. Like, hey, that was pretty cool. I'll use that.
Yeah, they're sort of when they
do
that.
Yeah, doing a robe with beard. Fuck that. Throw it in the game. You know.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But when they do that, they don't choose God as their iconography. They choose heaven. They choose hell. They choose angels. They choose demons. And even in those things, a lot of times, you don't see the idea of God even expressed. And that's because...
I'm sure they're probably also walking a little bit of the line because of the perceived cultural ideal of it. You know what I mean?
Like, so. Dante's Inferno.
Dante's Inferno is also not a Japanese game.
That's not a Japanese game.
And you're also not fighting God in that game.
Yeah, you're not. You're fighting Satan in that game.
You're fighting Satan in that game.
With his big floppy dick.
Here's the funny thing. You'll find that Satan is obviously in more games than any other entity that you know, any sort of godlike entity.
Because Satan is cool. That's
he's
why.
He is what he's considered the ultimate evil.
Yeah.
Actually, John Travolta.
Yeah.
Shit. I mean, like for example, Sephiroth. He's the one-winged angel. Where they, I wonder where they got that from.
Yeah, no, they definitely use that stuff on purpose, you know.
Wrestling.
But it is interesting, Brett, because a lot of people do just flat out think like, oh yeah, that's God, you know. So you just attribute that to like just us seeing it through Christian or Western eyes. Is that how you?
Yeah, because I had this argument with people all the time, in the sense of, like just even debating philosophy or something like that, like you know, like so blah blah blah, like. Like let's you know could gods exist? They'd be like, well, no, God can't exist because God has to be infallible. You're assuming the Judeo-Christian God. Like if by definition your God can't be infallible, then you're assuming the Judeo-Christian God, and that's the one reason. One of the things that I kind of think is like, God in all of these games is a fallible creator, which is not really in line with the technical definition of what it means you need to have to be God.
Are you a god?
Through Western points of view.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, there's the difference between God and a god. And one of the best ways I can summarize it is like in Shintoism, a kitsune or a multi-tailed fox is a spiritual being. Right? It is it has the ability to create, it has the ability to destroy, all of these things that we would naturally call, you know, ethereal or supernatural, and when they get to nine tails, they achieve supernatural apex, where they get to the strongest they can get, and they become so powerful and able to affect reality in such a way that they are considered a god. And that's not because like they are the top of the pile, even. It's just they hold that echelon, smaller case g, Marvel terms, yeah. And that's. In you know, the same way, like, I don't think Ego in Marvel was supposed to represent God. It's just kind of that idea of a corrupt creator deity. Like, and yeah, it shares certain thematic similarities, but I don't think it's supposed to be a direct representation. They're just picking and choosing the bits that they like and the bits that they don't.
Yeah, fuck, just even, like anything.
Even Smash Brothers, you end up fighting God, but it's just a big fucking hand.
Well, the giant hand is actually an allegory for you, the player.
Oh, really?
Master hand is the player.
Interesting.
Well, it's in the same sense though, it is the dominant force and creator of that universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what Master Hand is supposed to be.
Sketch says Evangelion is all about God and angels, including Adam and Eve. Yeah, but you know. Anime uses that stuff freely, obviously.
But when they do,
let's talk about.
That's not saying. But when they do, they're not just like God. It's always other biblical themes tied into it.
Yeah, it's not just like a direct thing. It's like it hints at it, you know. But it's really more borrowing elements than anything because they think it's cool, you know.
And I think video games are the same thing. Unless there's other biblical elements of the game, I don't think they're referring to the Christian Abrahamic God. I think they're just referring to. a creator deity.
But at the same time, I also wouldn't put it past them to know exactly what they're doing, knowing how Westerners are going to interpret this stuff. You can't really deny that either. They may not be thinking about it. It's like, oh yeah, you know, those Westerners are probably going to take it a certain way. Okay, cool, whatever.
Or they'll be like, let's just make it into a generic creator deity, even though we totally meant it to be God. You know what I mean?
It could also be that too. Yeah.
You could also say that sort of stuff as well.
Yep. I'm kind of going by Occam's razor. Like, what benefit is there to have it be specifically the Abrahamic God, and what point is there specifically going to be like that? Just seems like a lot of effort.
Because of the symbology.
Yeah. They know it's going to resonate with Western.
They're going to know it's going to resonate with people. So sometimes if you walk that line a little bit, you know, it gets people talking.
Exactly. I think they do
the same thing with, like, you know,
the killing God resonates with people.
No, because they know that shit's going to fucking be controversial, man. They know that's going to sell.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we the game industry is not above making any sort of controversy to try to get people to talk about their games.
GTA.
Dante's Inferno. GTA. Dante's Inferno was a huge example of that, where they literally hired fake Christians to boycott to picket in front of Comic-Con to fake boycott the game. Yep.
Okay, so help me understand here. In a game like Earthbound, you're telling me that they're doing something intentionally subversive to piss people off, but then hiding it so well that nobody makes the connection, so nobody gets pissed off to begin with?
I think it's a case by case basis. Not everything is using. I think for them, a game like Earthbound, it's more of an amalgam of ideas. You know, you'll see that there's very uniquely Japanese ideas. There's also Western ideas. And I think that's a lot of the way.
Go ahead.
I just think that the Japanese don't find it taboo to include Christian mythology as a storytelling element, as any other mythology, right? Like, you can have a game like God. Nobody's taking Norse mythology seriously. It was like, blasphemy! You can't use the name of Thor and Odin. Nobody's saying that. So
blasphemy! How dare you?
Anything is on the table, like for them. And Christianity is a big part of it. After World War II, we introduced that stuff there. So it's a part. It became a part of their culture. It's on the table like everything else that they can use it for storytelling elements. So they don't mind using it. We're here. It's like, we'll cherry pick little stuff, but
fighting
Satan with his dong hanging out and stuff. Like, you just, that's okay. That's fine.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. You know. All right. Let's move on here.
Satan with his dong hanging out.
this is an interesting one. Have you ever bought a game solely to profit later? I guess like if you're buying a... That's my answer is no. Like, buying a game...
You kind of do, because you have that Nintendo Mini, and you're thinking you want to flip that eventually.
I open that shit. I'm keeping it.
Oh, okay.
They bust. Now you can buy them anywhere if you're cheap.
Yeah, it doesn't matter anymore.
You kept pimping it out. That was a scam.
But Nintendo, hawking shit for later.
Remember I've never flipped games.
No, I never did that.
Yeah. Never did that either.
I've sold back games because they deleted
me. Yeah, right.
Them, but I never flipped them.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna guess our answer is no.
I've sold games when me and Adam were younger. We sold off a lot of our games just to kind of get new things.
When you're like, I'm gonna buy this comic book, and in 20 years I'm gonna sell it and send my kids to college. Like, nothing like that. Mm-hmm. You know?
No. No.
All right, so that's a no from everybody. Brett, you too? No.
I mean, the best I've gotten is that I've, especially back in the day, I would buy a game specifically on day, so that I could sell it back after I beat it for the highest possible price, and you kind of try and link that with the deals that you got, or maybe back in the day you could exploit some GameStop deals, or at a certain point, like Amazon pre-order deal. There was a point where I was getting an Amazon or a video game for like $48 by pre-ordering it off Amazon. I could turn around and sell it like a week later for $30. So I could pretty much just churn through new titles for about $12 a month, which I did the math and was cheaper than red boxing them. So
My buddy Jamal used to do that with GameStop because they had it where if you returned the game within, was it the first month, you got $35 for it.
Yeah.
So then he would, you know, beat the game, run through it quick so he can bring it back to get 35 off, get whatever. Pretty much get it, right?
All right. So moving on. Oh, I think this is the first time person. I never heard this name. Eurocar 9. I don't know who the fuck that is, man, but welcome. Yeah, so his first question is, why do you think people are so vocal to call out Xbox and their lack of quality AAA exclusives, but don't call out the industry as a whole for essentially doing the same thing this generation? Interesting. I think because Xbox is just one platform, you know, so it kind of just looks worse. Like, if you, like, but it's interesting. Like, what if you broke it down? Like, you know, you had EA and Activision. I still think they would have more exclusives than Xbox, wouldn't they? Let's break this shit down, man.
EA and Activision are exclusives?
Like, who releases more exclusives, EA or Xbox?
They don't. EA doesn't release exclusives.
So, by the way, Eurocar is Carlos. Could you explain this question? I'm a little lost here.
Yeah.
Manny's right. Like, these companies don't release exclusives, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking more towards the Sony and Nintendo route. I'm not trying to make a one-to-one comparison with sort of Nintendo AAA exclusive games and Sony AAA exclusive games to Xbox, but I'm just saying in general there has been a lack of sort of like just amount of AAA exclusive games for each of the platforms. There's not that, like, compared to last gen, this gen is really, really, like, I mean, this year, can anybody name me a AAA exclusive that's come out that's pretty good?
As of yet, no.
Shit, this year?
I mean, as of yet, I mean, all of it has all just been third-party stuff.
About that Days Gone? A lot of people seem to like that.
Days Gone, you know, it was AAA, but it was all right, you know? Even though it is doing very, very well, despite what the critics are saying.
It's selling like hot.
Yeah, but he's talking about quality specifically here, you know?
Like those super highly rated AAA exclusive games. Like, I don't think we've had one this year. And
wasn't God of War?
God of War was last year. And so was Spider-Man. That was last year, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like a 1-2 punch last year.
Yeah, last year was crazy. But I still say Sony and Nintendo each have more big exclusives than Microsoft does.
Oh, yeah. Xbox.
So that's why they're not getting called out, you know?
Yeah. So I'm just saying, like, there's been a lot of gaps. Like, last year we had two games. Like, we had God of War and what's it called?
Spider-Man.
Well, I don't know if we had any for Microsoft, and I don't know if we had any for Nintendo. What did Nintendo do last year? Super Smash Brothers, maybe?
Yeah, Smash Brothers. Yeah. They released a bunch of shit last year, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. They did that Toad game.
Yeah.
Well, but AAA?
That's AAA to them. That's a AAA Nintendo game, you know?
Yeah.
Can't get anywhere else, and they consider that, you know.
That is a AAA Nintendo game. Nintendo released a bunch of shit. And didn't they release a Pokemon game recently? That's AAA for them, you know?
No, Let's Go Eevee and no, that's not AAA, man. The one they're going to release.
Again, compared to Nintendo standards. I agree with you in the grand scale of things. It is not a AAA game, but it is for Nintendo. That's a big game for them, you know?
Maybe for Nintendo, but not for Nintendo fans, because I don't even think most Nintendo fans think that was a AAA exclusive. That was just like a hold me down until fucking Sword and Shield comes out.
Okay, I think I made a mistake because I thought that was Sword and Shield I was talking about. I don't know these fucking games. You know, I thought Sword and Shield already came out.
No, that comes out this year. No.
It is funny that a lot of Switch, AAA exclusives are Wii U ports.
Because nobody were playing them on there, so.
So now they're marquee titles, which is hilarious.
Yeah, you can re-release Captain Toad and all those games that nobody was paying attention to, and then it's a totally new experience for people.
Pretty much.
Mario Kart 8.
Still
Splatoon. Selling like hotcakes.
Yeah, man.
As if it was a new game.
Every MPD, we see that shit in there, you know? We didn't see it there during the Wii U days, you know? Go ahead,
Carlos. That's why I kind of raised the question, because, like, a lot of people criticize Microsoft, and rightfully so, but I don't see a lot of that going spreading out to the other one, even though other ones don't probably don't deserve as much of the blame as Microsoft does, but I still don't see anybody criticizing them.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, are you talking about just this year specifically or the entire generation?
No, the entire generation.
All right, because there you go. Because, you know, this last year, everybody's like all the games are trickling down because it's the last year and things are winding down. But if you take the generation as a whole, Sony and Nintendo got way more exclusives than Xbox does easily.
Compared to Xbox, they're doing great, but compared to other generations, they're in the shitter. It's like
generation's been bullshit, though, if you think about it. So,
I also think you know, everybody's sort of complaining about how many exclusives are, but I mean, if at the same time, it's like you realize how long these fucking games take, man.
Yeah,
like you can't just be popping out exclusives like left and right like it was back in the day, man.
Well, the thing is, they're not doing it left and right, and they're not doing it left and left and left. I know that's.
The thing is, it's like you got this whole section of stuff that needs to go in there. You go back into the PlayStation 2 era or even PlayStation 1. Yeah, Sony had guys all over the place popping out games. But at the same time, it's like now there's so much more expectation when it comes to an actual game. Now every game has to have this or it has to have this. It has to look a specific way. You can't just throw out something out there and be like, okay, you know, we put something out. You know,
so let me ask you this. I'll go ahead, Adam.
And
keeps getting patched, and then people bitch about that. It's like, why are you getting all these patches? It was like we tried to get it out quick. And
yeah, but so how many games for like let's stick with Sony. How many games? How many AAA exclusive games per year should a fan expect and be satisfied?
Should they be? I mean, to be honest, that being satisfied is also a little bit, you know.
What about you?
For me, I can't even really consider myself anything in this because I don't play enough games. I'm not any sort of specific demographic.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
For me, I say four big triple A's a year is pretty good, you know?
Yeah, that's what I would say. It's like one for each quarter at least. Yeah, it's
exactly.
Like, okay.
Exactly. Because I'm being realistic about it because I realize that the lion's share of the games that anybody buys on any given console are third parties, you know? So you don't want your first party games being drowned out by the third party. So I think six would be nicer. Don't get me wrong, but one per quarter would be fantastic.
But how many times do we even get that?
I mean, it's started getting a bunch of them starting in 2017, 2018, you know, because, again, like we talk about, it takes about 4 years to make a really good game. Generation started 2013, 2017, so we started seeing some real shit. So, you know, shit takes time. And like Manny said, these games need to be so much bigger and not have so much shit in them. It takes longer. It wasn't like back in the day where you just have 32 megs of fucking memory and just throw out a game in there. It doesn't work like that anymore, you know?
You can't kind of get like, yes, I mean, if we were making, if the people were making games in the way they were, maybe, you know, even early PS3 era or something like that, yeah, they could probably get a lot of things out much quicker. But then there's a level that everybody sort of expects. Even games that are not even considered to be like, top of the food chain, they're like, well, it, you know, it should look this way or should look this way.
Yeah.
But or should have.
There hasn't been a year this generation, maybe except for 2017, where we actually got to, let's say, for example, Tony's standard, which is, and my standard too, which is at least four games. Like 2017 is the only year this generation Sony has released four quality AAA exclusive titles. And I don't even know if there's four. I can think three off the top of my head.
And also, I'm just going to be real right now. The quality of Sony's games, even if there's less of them, is so much higher than Microsoft's. That's why they get a little bit of a pass. Like, okay, we get less of these, but they're fucking better than everything out there, you know? So I think that helps a lot, too. Same thing with Nintendo. Same deal with Nintendo. People are like, yo, these games are fucking hot. So whatever, you know?
Yeah, like, for example, when a game like Mario comes out or Zelda comes out,
you know it's going to be better.
Yeah, they have like a 4 to 6 month grace period where. Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm saying unless they're a pork. See a lot of people still bitching about.
But even the ports are fucking doing gangbusters.
Yeah, you know? I mean Mario Kart 8 selling.
Listen, I know you know Carlos. You don't like calling some of these games AAA, but Nintendo has a AAA game every month, you know, for their fans, at least, you know, to their standards. So Nintendo's blowing away everybody right now, even though a lot of those fucking games are just reprints or whatever, you know?
Yeah, they're just ports of the previous generation. Like, let's
they're
say
selling like crazy all the time.
Let's say if it was something like that, like literally, you know, they took this, like, let's say, you know, for the sake of conversation, Microsoft decided to take all the, you know, take the whole, all the big exclusives from their era on the 360 era and just started reprinting them all for the Xbox to kind of fill in the space between, you know, the actual new games.
Yeah.
Exactly. But they already gave you that with the backwards compatibility. Yeah, like, they didn't
really need to send us emails out which games, exclusive Xbox OG games, would you like to see in the PC? And then we got them all.
Well, how many studios does Microsoft own? Like, they could have this outpour of content in a couple of years, but the thing is, will it be like right now? Nobody's produced an exclusive for them yet. That's like, oh my god, this is amazing recognition, except for Gears and Halo. That's all they're known for.
Yeah.
So you got the We Happy Few studio. What are they? Happy Few wasn't even a
Chris, you know,
Happy Few studio is making something for them, right? But we don't know what it is, and We Happy Few wasn't a good game.
Yeah.
So you don't have that kind of trust there. Like, okay, what are these guys going to do? They have shown so little of Gears 5. I'm concerned of that game. It's like, so the only thing that the people would look forward to is Halo Infinite, which is like, Halo is kind of on its last grace, I think. Yeah, if Halo Infinite is Halo's is done, and then I don't know what the other 20 studios they bought are.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, Carlos, so just to get to the heart of your thing, yes, this generation has been crap. I agree with you. You know, but just the fact that Sony has higher quality games and Nintendo just has so many of them gives them a pass over Microsoft, you know?
You know what's,
Go ahead, Carlos.
Just to the heart of the point again, it's like we're talking about God of War and Spider-Man, and those games came out last year, and we're already in August of 2019? And we're still like hanging off the threads of those games. So it's like, and the pipeline, I mean, it seems like, and here's the crazy thing. I think we're talking about a pipeline. Like, yeah, we can expect the first one or two or maybe 3 years of the generation are going to be kind of slow. You know, there's a whole bunch of remasters. There's a whole bunch of shitty, like, first part of the gen games, like Killzone and shit. And it's like, no, but the studios are working on it and they're going to start popping up. So we get to, 2016, Uncharted comes out, Uncharted 4, and then, like, 2017, we get Horizon and Persona and some other games. And then 2018 comes out, and there's Spider-Man and fucking God of War, and then it seems like the pipeline is done. It's like, well, that's it? That's what we get?
I'm going to tell you this right now. Expect the same thing as Generation, maybe even worse. These games
it might be worse.
Yeah. So you may be looking back at this generation going, fuck, we had it good back then.
Why is everybody excited for new consoles then if we're not going to get anything really cool to play on it?
Because it's a refresh. I hate this gen, man. I just want to start over.
don't expect things to get better next gen, man. I'm telling you right now.
It might not.
Because I don't hate this generation at all because, you know, I've gotten to play the games that I've gotten to play. The ones that I don't buy every game, but I at least played the ones that I did until I finished them. I mean, granted, I'm not all the damn time.
Hey, Manny, you're cutting out too, man.
Hello?
Yeah, there he goes.
Yeah.
No, I'm not rolling in dough or all that stuff, but I don't know. I just didn't feel like this generation was that bad. I feel like a little. We start comparing generation. It's not a fair comparison for one reason is because because of just the time that it needs to take to make these sorts of games now and the expectations that people have for them.
Yeah, every game has to be open world, procedure generated, massively multiplayer online, RPG, exactly. All this other shit. Like everything, you know?
Most most of the games, with the exception of like God of War, most of the games that have been released this year are some sort of open world game, which have to have fully developed worlds that you can walk around anywhere, you can do anything you want. Where is the, you know, where is the point? You know, it's like everybody's, but now if everybody's expecting a whole a pretty much fully developed world, obviously you can't get those games out as quickly.
Yeah,
you can. And then you expect them to be, you know, shiny and, you know, pretty looking games. You know what I mean? I don't know.
People need to lower their expectations.
That's not going to happen. The expectations keep going up and up and up every year.
The expectations is just expect your games to come a lot later, especially if people start bitching about all the grind and all that stuff. Well, what do you want?
Yeah, like, yeah, people are talking about, like, you know, like artificial game extension, where in other words, you have to grind for a little bit longer, to kind of keep the game, you know, so that you can get further in the game as opposed to just kind of playing through. So, like, which is it? Do you just want to play through the game and, you know, breeze through it, or do you want to do this stuff? You want them to make more content, but you're not willing to pay more money for it. There is some sort of breaking point here, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's
to pay more money. Everybody's pissed off about microtransactions, but at the same time, they're pissed off about microtransactions. But yet, what about the other side of things?
Well, I mean, I agree to an extent, but the developers are to blame for this too, because you have like, quote unquote, the expectations of what a game should be, and it's like. Yeah, if you release The Order 1886, you're going to have a whole bunch of haters shitting on it. First of all, because there's a whole bunch of fanboys shitting on any game that's coming out exclusively for a PlayStation console. And two, because it was short. But the game sold well. And but developers, just because they got blowback by a rabid part of another fan base, they think this isn't the type of game we want to make. So that's the developers for not noticing that there are people that want to play these games. They're just looking at the fucking Twitter feeds and thinking that everyone hates it, is not the case.
It's, I mean, honestly, doesn't it lean on both of us though? Like, yeah,
it is definitely both.
It is.
Like, I have to say this: Destiny cost how much money to make?
Literally half a billion dollars.
$500 million.
Yeah. Now. Was there $500 million in that game? I'll go ahead and answer that for you. No, there wasn't. Not compared to what we ever, like, the cost of production of that game compared to the extra benefit that they got out of it was
negligible. It was around like two.
Yeah, I was going to say $250,000 of it was actually for advertisement. So, yeah, still.
Terrifying.
Well, no. My point being that you can't just throw more money at something and get a better product. And by the inverse of that, you don't have to just throw money at things to get a good product. The problem that we come into.
I think the biggest issue with Destiny was that the fact that they didn't, they had a bunch of false starts.
But it's not about Destiny. It's about showing a non-correlation between cost and value. I mean, Hellblade was a small team, and yeah, it wasn't a big AAA title. But you don't have to spend $500 million to get a game out that is considered a AAA quality. Now, what you do spend that much money on is making absolutely fucking sure that this game is going to hit, because you don't want to take an L on any of these. We've stopped taking risks. And because we've stopped taking risks, games have gotten homogenized. And because of this homogenization, it is now taking longer to develop these games because they have to double check every single thing. It's on both of us. It's the fact that we bitch about every single game.
Yep.
If we can find one small thing, one small puddle that doesn't look fucking perfect, then everybody jumps on the bandwagon. And we're guilty of it too. Like, I can't tell you, like, yeah, they're probably not going to put a lot. Yeah, they're going to take forever making the next Fallout 5. You know why? Because every one of you lost your shit over a game that you didn't even play. So we're all fucking guilty for it, even the people in this room right here. But we do need to stop. We need to start letting games just be what they are and stop criticizing them for the things that they don't have. Otherwise, we're just going to continue to get the golden corral of video games every fucking time. The fucking mediocre
golden corral.
That's what
I just remember Chris calling them Applebee's games. It's the same kind of deal, you know.
Yeah, you want a little bit of everything? Like, oh yeah, sure. I mean, the fried chicken fucking sucks, but at least you get ham too. Like, well, I don't want shitty chicken and shitty ham. How about you just give me a good fucking ham? But no, but then all the people who might like chicken are going to get all up in arms about that shit. Like, if we took the approach we take to video games to literally anything else, to picking out dinner, we would all fucking starve to death.
Oh, man, I love it. You're right about that, though. It's like, yo, man, I just want some fried chicken. I don't want, like, everything, you know? Come on.
Because... No. I think a lot of times what's happening now is that now games are not, and I'll agree with Red that they're not taking chances, but because the reason why they're not taking chances is because these are those surefire sort of things. Applebee's, and they're giving us this sort of stuff because these are things that already worked. And being that these are silly time tested sort of things, now the expectation is to have these things everywhere.
Yeah,
which is and I get that. Like, if you look at how wide the action adventure genre is, where it has RPG elements, it has platforming, it has shooting, it's open world, it has every single thing that you could possibly want from every single type of genre of game, as opposed to specifically shooting for one specific thing.
Yeah, and
that is a problem, like, you know.
But okay, we used to have a solution. Valve came up with a fucking amazing solution. Let people work on small games. Let people work on, mods for your fucking games. Let them rise to the top, make a name for themselves. Let them pitch you games. Source your community for ideas, and then raise those best ideas and the most qualified people up. That's how we got some of our best games. That's how Portal was made. But we don't do that anymore. We don't actually, like, fucking video game companies are so obsessed with not even letting this shit out until, like, they don't want people modding it until 2 years after. Like, let people get their hands on it. This is supposed to be an involved community. We're not a passive community. We're an active community with different levels of involvement, including hacking and jailbreaking. Like, I get that you're scared of DRM or of piracy. I get it. But the data shows that piracy doesn't adversely affect the sales of media. In fact, it actually increases it. So they're going so far out of their way to shoot themselves in the foot that they're killing a community that they could draw from, a community they could crowdsource from, a community that they could know whether or not a game is going to work because a smaller, more compact version of that game has already been floated and playtested. And the fucking thing is, all of this, out of all of this research and all of this carefulness and everything like that, it doesn't mean fucking shit. You know what I saw on the PlayStation Store the other day? You know what one of the most downloaded games on PlayStation Store is? Fucking Ark! Fucking Ark! And it's still not done! It is still not finished! It has made millions and millions and millions of dollars for being a hot, broken piece of shit. This is the hot, broken piece of shit people want to put YouTube videos up about. Because they fucking like sharing it. Like, it's we still, for all of our progress, they have no idea what's going to make a game good. And yet you see Steam, and I'm sure Brian would probably agree with me on this one, like, you see Steam actually doing it right, except now Steam is just overladen with way too much shit, and you can't cut the bullshit to the good games anymore. So we're coming in going, I don't honestly know what the answer is, but I do know keeping everything, you know, fucking hidden under a tarp, but like, we're getting more and more secrecy. We're seeing less and less about things coming out because they're wanting to, you know, spread and sprinkle along the information, and all it tells us about it is 3 years of fucking ahead of time. Like, these things, they're just getting safer and safer and safer bets, and every time we do it, it gets a little worse. And that's how we end up where we're at. We need to start having a huge influx of second-party developers, or this shit is never going to end, and we're never going to get fresh ideas.
Fresh ideas comes from the independent department. I think a lot of, because there's not a lot that needs to go into those sorts of games, you know, they're able to innovate. I think okay, that sounds like a good idea. Let's expand on that.
I think that's a great idea.
As opposed to probably a while ago, it would have probably been the other way around, where there was not so much money being thrown into a game where they could kind of go crazy and do whatever the hell they wanted.
No, and I agree. Like, absolutely. That's why we have, like, architectural plans. There's, like, yes, float an idea on a small scale to see if it works. That's why we have focus testing. I remember back when I was a kid, you used to get stopped at the fucking mall. They'd be like, hey, kid, you want to make $5? They'd sit you in a room, and they're like, here's a new popsicle. Try a new popsicle. What do you think? I think this tastes like shit. And they give you $5, you walk away. That's
they're like, I think this tastes like shit. And they're like, yes, success.
Yeah, exactly. I guarantee you, they didn't make 10 million of those fucking popsicles before they sat it down and had some Chicagoland kids try them to tell them whether or not they were crap. Like, you do things in small batches. I mean, like, Manny, if you make a graphic novel, right, are you going to immediately order a million copies printed?
No, you're gonna do a light load to kind of test the market and see if it's in there, and then if it does good, you do a little bit more, and then you do a little bit more.
But that's the problem with big corporations right now is they don't test products, they don't test ideas. They do a bunch of research, which is completely skewed and biased based on whatever they want to do. And then they put a product to market before even knowing if it's good. Like this is not only in entertainment. This is in any type of production. Look at how many quote unquote franchises failed to launch in because of this bullshit. Like, where's the Dark Universe? They made that Power Rangers movie. They said they were gonna it was gonna be a 6-film franchise. Yeah, not gonna happen, right? You know, nothing said. Ghostbusters 2016 was quote unquote the infinite franchise. They said they could make movie after movie out based on that. Not gonna happen. Like this is a pervasive problem with business people now versus the past. Like what you're talking about with focus groups and stuff. They used to test stuff. Now they don't. They think they're the smartest guys in the room, and that they will dictate what based on market research what we want. And then when we don't buy it, then there's all cognitive dissonance and anger that goes back out, you know, like, the fans are stupid. No, you're stupid. You should have asked them.
I also think that part of it is that a lot of people, the surefire, they always feel like the surefire thing is to, you know, do something that everybody, you know, somebody knew, that we knew. So it's like, okay, rather than make a new kind of ghost hunting sort of movie, right? Or something like that sort of idea, they just say, okay, let's just go with nostalgia because nostalgia sells. Or, you know, people heard of this. Why? It's why we get like 20, you know, we get a bunch of Marvel sequels movies. to a bunch of video games, right? Why there's still Call of Duty games to this day because the franchise is a known franchise.
But I mean, okay, in fairness though, I do, whether you like to.
Brett, you're cutting out, bro.
I said I have to say this in fairness. Whether you liked it or you hated it, Sea of Thieves was a huge kind of innovation in terms of the direction that games are going. They were really trying to do something. So,
well I give that credit because they tried to do something different. You know more companies should do that. And the thing with like a big network game like Sea of Thieves and stuff, you can course correct while you work on the game. It's like, oh, people are playing this mode and not this mode, so let's put more emphasis on that and whatnot. And it can kind of evolve. But if you just put out like something like Destiny, and it's like, oh, this is what people want, like a looter shooter with Halo theming on it and all this stuff. You don't look at the market and see what people really want. So yeah,
I feel like I have to come to Microsoft's backing on this one, because like even like
Bro, you're cutting out again, man.
I'm wondering Microsoft what Discord is doing, because we've all cut out.
Yeah, we've all been doing it.
Yeah, it's probably been.
Yeah. I have to say, like even with like Sunset Overdrive, like Microsoft has tried to do some pretty innovative stuff. Now, granted, it hasn't worked very well. And it has launched very well, but in comparison to Sony, like, let's be honest, every Sony exclusive game is a carbon copy of the one that came before it.
Really? Spider-Man's like God of War?
Spider-Man is very much like Horizon in terms of overall structure. I mean, like, if you map
couldn't
their
swing around
genomes,
in fucking Horizon. through New York City, you know?
Other than the placement and the locomotion, what was different?
Well, because it's open world, so every open
world. How is Horizon different?
From
really, all that?
because it's a game like set in the, I mean, the only difference is the fucking open world. They got dinosaurs that have like super melee combat with like different types of weapons and stuff. Spider-Man, you're swinging around the city and stuff.
I understand the world open. The open world expands with the story. You have several checkpoint missions. You have challenge missions. Like, the structure of the game, the way that the bones of it are the same.
But you can say that about like 99% of games released now.
Yeah, but I can't say that about Sunset Overdrive. I can't say that about.
Yeah, you can. It's the same. You could basically like, it's an open world game. You go from mission to mission. You complete them. You move on. You know, if you could really break games down like that, you know, everything's gonna look the same. You know,
Sunset Overdrive is just like Infamous.
Yeah, you could say that, and it's just like Spider-Man, and it's just like, you know, any other open world game. Like, if you could break down everything to its constituent parts, everything's the same. So it's a little unfair to say that, you know? It's like, we're going to break down to, hey, in this game, you press buttons to do things, just like every other game out there.
Every
know?
Fighter's the same.
that's not fair. Okay, you're...
But that's how I'm hearing what you're saying. I'm like, okay, so
he's
you're
generalizing. That's what it sounds like.
You're really breaking it down. So I'm going to break it down even further, you know?
Okay, so tell me how Sea of Thieves is like Horizon.
Okay, it's a big open world game where you go from checkpoint to checkpoint doing things.
Right, no checkpoints.
All right, okay, you go from place to place doing things. Like, you see what you said?
Okay, so it's a game where you go places and do stuff?
Yeah, I'm using your own logic against you, bro. That's how kind of silly it is. I'm like, you can't just like break it down.
See,
like,
dude,
that.
I just watched JP go from playing Days Gone to playing Horizon. Other than the settings, the games are damn near identical. There's a few couple things, like, yeah,
but you can say that for most open world games, dude. You know, that's my point. And by the way, I'm agreeing with you that a lot of games are fucking generic as hell now. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying, you know, like, these games, like...
There are games that are out. No Man's Sky was different. Yeah. Sea of Thieves was different.
And nobody liked those games.
No, you know? And I know, but that's what I'm saying. Microsoft takes a swing every once in a while. I have not known Sony to go off of the tried and true, this is proven and what works.
Oh yeah, I'm not disagreeing with
at
that.
All.
Sony has a very specific type of game they give you.
They're very conservative. Yeah. And so that's all I was saying, was that while we're talking shit on the subject of Microsoft not having the exclusives that other games do, I do want to bring up that when they do come out with exclusives, a lot of times they're at least trying to make things fresh or new or do something kind of different.
Yep,
I'm not saying that the new Fable was a good idea. It was a terrible fucking idea, but at least it was different.
Yeah, but I would always say just because something's different doesn't make it good either. You know, that's always
no. But that's one thing that, like, you really see between them. Like, I would like to see Sony take more. I really would.
It would be nice.
As much as I love Sony games, after a while you can't just go from Sony exclusive to Sony exclusive to Sony exclusive and not feel like you're rinsing and repeating after a little while.
But the thing is, I would agree with that, but I feel that way about most games in general now. You know what I'm saying? They're all the same
now.
That's just because
you think just because something has an open makes it the same. And that's...
But you think that too. You just said it, you know?
So, no, I think there are several different ways to approach open worlds. I think Breath of the Wild was an awesomely refreshing take on open world that didn't just throw out checkpoints to you, actually required you to pay attention to your surroundings, pay attention to the landscape. I've played a ton of open world games that aren't that way.
Yeah, all right, that's fair. Yeah, I guess I do break things down more than you do then, because I'm like, okay, open world game, there's missions there. They're kind of the same, you know?
Fallout's an open world game. It's nothing like Horizon.
Which one?
Fallout.
Well, that's an online open world game. That's a little bit of a different beast right
there. No, Fallout 4. Fallout 4. Yeah, Skyrim. Yeah, right, Skyrim. Right.
It's pretty funny.
You could make those comparisons between the two. You're in this open world game. There's a story. You go to missions and you complete them. You know.
You're holding a gun. First person shooter. You go from this point to this point. You talk to people. You get dialogue. You go to this place.
But it's how you do those things that are important. That's the part that you guys seem to be missing. Like, do I just go to the next town in a string of towns to meet the average camp head that needs me to run several different missions that are all basically fetch quest missions? That's completely different than building my own settlement or climbing a mountain because I saw it off in the distance. Like, there's different ways to engage players. Minecraft does, and it's another open world game that takes a different approach. That's the whole point of its success. It didn't get there on its fucking graphics. It got there because it did something different.
Yeah.
Minecraft didn't do something different. Minecraft's a mod of another game.
What?
Oh,
what
is game? It? What game?
Yeah, Minecraft's... I forgot what game it was.
Hey, listen, don't be throwing out misinformation on Throwdown, man.
I don't know. I don't do that, man.
The facts, bro. I don't know about that one. Were you saying Notch stole that idea from something else, you know?
Notch, it was open source, and Notch did a spinoff of that, and he did Minecraft, and that shit blew up.
It had been seen in the mainstream. It was a new idea by the time it hit mainstream, and it hooked. Even if that's the case, that's my point is that fresh ideas have a place among the audience. It's just they're not really bet on by the game companies.
Brett, I'll be 100 with you. Breath of the Wild didn't do anything new. Bullshit. I'm sorry. Breath of the Wild. Tell me specifically what Breath of the Wild did new.
It didn't give you any checkpoints to blindly run towards.
What? How is that new? It didn't give you any checkpoints to run towards.
Yeah.
You can't think of another game that does that.
You want me to put it a little bit better? It curated the visual space so in a way so that your natural curiosity, along with landmarks in the distance, inevitably drew you towards what was an unfolding quest that happened at your own pace and essentially became emergent storyline that was carried and strung or carried and sticked through curiosity. I didn't go to a place in Breath of the Wild because they fucking told me to.
You want me to answer that question then?
Uh-oh.
Fallout 3 did that to me.
Did what?
Whatever you just said, it did it to me.
Fallout 3 lets you go off and do your own thing?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
His point being that you're applying something in terms of how it did it.
Okay, yeah, but Fallout 3 did it completely different than Breath of the Wild.
I'm saying the mechanic of the whole thing. It's nothing new.
It is.
No, it's not.
We're gonna have to agree to disagree.
I didn't like that bread. What's up, man?
I can't convince him that he's wrong because. Here's the deal. Environmental...
The conversation we had last on the other previous episode of the show.
I mean, I can finish my point if you guys
want to. No, please. I want to hear this.
Environmental design is something that is highly overlooked. Putting a fucking icon on a minimap and giving me nothing but a monotonous trudge to get there in an effort to lengthen the game is not the same as making the basic landscape interesting in a way that makes me naturally want to deviate from my main quest to satisfy my curiosity of, ooh, what's over here? That ooh piece of candy is a great way to build emergent gameplay.
Can I name a game that does that?
Sure.
World of Warcraft.
What?
Yeah.
You're wrong.
You can go.
World of Warcraft is the most fetch questy bullshit ever.
No, it doesn't tell you where. It doesn't tell you anything. You start on the world. It gives you a cutscene, and you're off on your own. It doesn't tell you where you have to go over here.
You run into town. You find a question mark. You blaze through the text as quick as possible. You go to the point on the minimap. It tells you. No, you kill the amount of things that it told you to do. But you run back and turn it in.
But here's the thing. That's how you'd run through it. You don't have to do that. You can do exactly what you did for Breath of the Wild in WoW.
No, you can't, because the environmental detailing is not that way. It does not usher you through the environment to the places you want to be. Like Conan online game pushes you through the entire world without ever giving you a fucking quest to do so, just through naturally...
So how is Breath of the Wild unique if Conan does that?
Wait, are you trying to pin me down to say that like Breath of the Wild every aspect and no other game has ever done it?
No, you're saying because this whole thing started with, hey, the games aren't doing anything new these days. They're all cookie cutter, doing the same shit that everything else does. And then you talked about the games that you liked that do those things, and then you mentioned. And then I asked you, what game does that in Breath of the Wild? And you said, oh, it does the whole whatever that you, the hell you said, and then you just said Conan does that, and I'm like,
yes, so, how so does both Conan and Zelda Breath of the Wild do that, and, yes. And Fallout. So there are two. No, Fallout doesn't do that.
Yeah, it does. Fallout. You can go.
Doesn't beckon you away by way of good environmental design. Fallout sidetracks you with intentionally needing bullshit for your settlement, as well as sidetracking narrative things. You run into somebody who has a QuickTime event or whatever that's randomly generated, so you find somebody who tells you something, who sends you on this quest. And the way that you approach that, the order in which you do it, develops an emergent storyline, which is the reason why you can sit down with a significant other and be like, where you've both played Fallout or Skyrim all day and literally have a discussion of, what'd you do in Fallout today? Oh, I've never seen that. That's a weird thing. What did you do? Oh, that's not the way I can finish that. It went down a whole complete quest. You get a completely different experience, even with two people playing the exact same game in the exact same place at the exact same time. And that happens because of that emergent narrative. But that's done in Fallout and Skyrim through narrative misdirection. You're trying to get to fight this fucking dragon, and then you see a little place that you can loot. And then somebody tells you about a bandit camp, so you go and fight the bandit camp. And then, oh, fuck, there's like a whole fucking dungeon down here. Well, I may as well fucking kill everybody in the dungeon. Oh, I found some cool shit to sell.
There's
different gameplay loop.
There's a lot of stuff in Fallout that they don't even tell you about. There might be hints on the story where you're on a quest and they're like, oh yeah, I remember there's this cult in the middle of whatever, and that's all they do. You don't even have to do the main missions to get to do that. You just stumble upon that freaking cult where all the trees are at, and you're like, oh shit, I didn't even know this shit existed. I think they talked about it and someone talked about it in a random dialogue scene somewhere, but the only reason why I even stumbled upon this is because I started traversing through the world, because I've never been to that corner of the map. And I ran there, and something popped up, and I'm like, oh, shit.
So you looked at the map and went to there because of the map, not because of the detailed visual landscape quietly beckoning you that way.
Well, I'm not as sophisticated to phrase it that way, so I don't know.
But that's literally what I'm talking about. Good environmental design is when you climb a mountain, you're like, oh, shit, is that a river? What is that over there? And then you go over there and figure out what that is. And then
the game doesn't explicitly make you do that. You can do that on your own. Like what that experience
they talk saying, about how Breath of the Wild was designed specifically to do that.
Yeah, and you fell for the juice. That's what they get you. We made this game specifically so like you can run over this and let your creativity. Wait,
you think I heard that before I played the game?
No, I'm saying that they just said, oh yeah, this game is designed in a way where it does these things, and you're like, oh yeah, that's what happened to me. So they must like they just throw those fancy words so people can be like,
but I see it, and that's where the degree to disagree. Like if you don't see the talent inherent in somebody's design, I can't make you. But as somebody whose huge passion it is. In environmental design, I love building castles and fucking tree forts, and any game that I can build something in, I love to do it, and I pay extreme attention to where the eye is being led, to what is lighting up, to what way you're being beckoned. It is just, it's basic visual flow. It's a basic fundamental of art and should be employed in a digital environment, and I can really appreciate when people do that well. If you can't tell the difference between Breath of the Wild and Fallout in terms of environmental design, that's like saying, like, bro, if I can't explain the difference to you between Mozart and the Spice Girl, there ain't no way we can talk about this. If you can't tell that one has more talent in it than the other, then that's, you know...
Well, the Spice Girls are pretty talented, so I don't know what you're saying.
But what I'm saying is most of the time, they don't care to create an interesting visual landscape. Because they
I don't know. I wouldn't say that. Think that people are just throwing things together. I think there is a general aesthetic that goes within making a lot of games.
A bunch of them are procedurally generated. And Tony,
Wait,
I heard my name.
A bunch of games are procedurally generated, but they're also directed. You are aware that a lot of Spider-Man was, a lot of the buildings in Spider-Man were procedurally generated, correct? But at the same time, it was also given parameters and directed. So if they didn't want a certain building there and they had
leads directing each section of the thing. So in other words, they had it procedurally generated, but then they also fine-tuned it and made it, made it better. So at the same time, I was like, I do think that there is a general method to the madness when it comes to these sorts of things.
But you're not going to convince
I do think that there are generally designed there are design choices that are made, and I also say that not that Breath of the Wild, despite it being highly directed, also probably has procedurally generated elements within it.
Yeah, it's not a black and gray thing, but like a lot of games just do a mass amount of procedural generation.
But you look at a game like Horizon Zero Dawn. You say the game does not beckon you. The game actually kind of does. You kind of look around the environment and you do see points of interest, just like you would see in Breath of the Wild. But granted, it's a little bit more constrained than Breath. There's a lot more fields in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, in Horizon there's those bases where it's like they don't tell you to go there.
And we also talk about environmental storytelling beckoning you further. A smaller level of that is the game Journey. Always ahead of you is that mountain that's beckoning you forward. But there are also points of interest within the environment. Yes, it's not as big and wide as Breath of the Wild, but it's still using environmental storytelling to get you to go and explore in the areas that you're in.
Yeah, I agree, but I don't think that that's how a majority of Sony's first-party games are built. I just don't.
But that doesn't itself,
a huge chunk of Spider-Man was procedurally generated. Yeah, it was directed. Yeah, I'm not saying that they didn't go back and fix that after that, but it's not the same as when you're trying to intentionally go out with the idea to bring you to this next point. I think that checkpoints on a map are just an icing that covers a really crappy cake of they want you to go here, and they don't know how to direct you there other than saying, we put an icon on your mini-map, go to that place.
But also,
there's a better way to do it.
But also, at the same time, in real life, how do you direct somebody? How do you know where to go in real life without actually knowing to go there? You know what I mean?
Dude, we did it for years. Look at Morrowind. I mean, if you want to, let's put it down this way. Morrowind, Elder Scrolls 3. We were just talking about this last night about how much we miss the idea that it used to tell you where to go. It used to say, if you follow the path up to the left and you bear right at the rocky side of the mountain, you'll come to a cave about 300 feet yards down. Look for
but in that game is still implicitly telling you how to get there. But yeah, obviously in Morrowind they won't do one of those things where they pop a little icon in the distance to tell you to go there.
Yeah, and we've done I personally hated it when World of Warcraft did that because, in my opinion, damn, and this is just my opinion. Again, I cannot affirm that, say that strongly enough. I felt like that partially ruined the gameplay loop because now I found myself just being lazy, being like, I'm just going to pick up all the quests and then look at my minimap and see where all the quests converge and then just kind of go do that bit first and then try and find an efficient way to run through a sweep of all the quests to get as much experience as possible. It completely broke any narrative in terms of are in favor of efficiency. And I feel like a lot of games have followed suit. Like, they don't even bother telling you, oh, you need to go here or you need to do this. They don't even bother with the explanation anymore. Nobody even if you didn't want to use the icons in the minimap, they don't give you enough information to find it otherwise.
So, Brett.
Yes.
So I guess my point still stands that this Breath of the Wild doesn't do anything new. It just does something that doesn't rarely get used.
If you're going by the definition that new is only literally the first time something is done, then yes.
Well, suppose so. Because you're talking about tropes. Oh, go ahead, Brett. I'm Brian.
You can climb pretty much any surface. I still get to see a game where you can climb so many things like Breath of the Wild does.
Origins and Odyssey.
But can you climb like every single wall?
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
All that.
They copied it, but because they copied it.
I don't know if
they
copied it. They were in development at the same time. I don't think they copied it, dude. I think they came to came to the same conclusion at the same time.
Assassin's Creed, after like seven, all of a sudden, half idea to do the thing. So wait, you're telling highly me that
in seven, so you're telling me that in 6 months, the six months between when Breath of the Wild came out and when Origins came out, they decided that we're going to steal this mechanic. They had it in development for years, bro.
I think Breath of the Wild was in development for longer than AC Creed was, because AC comes out like what every like.
Yeah.
Like,
Origins, like, by the way, like, Origins, yeah.
Like every 2 years.
Yeah, but when did they release it?
That, yeah, they both released the same year. They both released 2017. And they, I believe they were both, maybe Breath of the Wild was in development, like, for a year longer, but they...
Breath of the Wild was meant to come out for the Wii U, like, before the Switch was even a thing.
Yeah, but yeah, they were touting that mechanic, because I don't see...
Yes, they were.
I didn't even know about the mechanic until the game dropped.
What? I told you about it before the game dropped.
I didn't hear that shit.
What? Yeah, I don't know.
The words came out of my mouth. That's why I was telling you one of the reasons I was so excited about it.
Yeah. I thought you were excited about it because of the weapon fragility.
What?
No. He's fucking with you, Brett.
No, actually, I'll be honest with you. I don't remember you talking about this game at all. I'm just being real, you know? But I didn't know about the climbing shit until I played it myself. I'm like, oh, shit. You can climb anything. This is crazy. Yeah. You know?
But also, I also think that it, you know, in that it wasn't in your wheel well of you know, looking at into,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like Breath of the Wild wasn't the thing that you were waiting to see. So whatever came over your table, it's like, okay, that's fine. But, you know,
yeah. But the point is,
I would disagree. Like, people were really waiting for Breath of the Wild. Remember when that spider dame?
No, I'm talking about Tony specifically.
Okay, I was about to say, like...
I'm not talking about everybody.
Yeah.
Tom Gamer's mind just melted out of his skull, you know, like...
Yeah. Oh, no, I knew the game was a Zelda game. Who gives a fuck, you know?
He knew that... See, the thing is that Tony knew there was hype, but I don't think he delved that much deeper into whatever it was. Yeah, I knew about the Climb Anywhere thing, and I don't even own a Switch or wasn't even planning to buy the thing.
I didn't know about it. I was like, oh, shit, this is crazy. And then I saw Origins, and I'm like, okay, Origins does it better because I don't have to get tired anymore, because that was the main thing of Zelda. It's like you get tired eventually. Origins, just climb where the fuck you want, and as long as you want. It was fantastic, you know? But I do agree more games do that, because when I went back to play Horizon Zero Dawn when the DLC dropped, I'm like, fuck, I can't climb anything anymore. I have to look for little legends and shit, you know?
I'll say Zelda did... their conveyance really well with I understand what Brett's talking about with the just looking out in the distance and like, okay, I see the Sheikah Towers, okay, I know where Hyrule Castle is because there's a big purple smoke monster flying out of it, and I have to go there, and then you see Death Mountain, but it has all these regions that if you played Zelda, you know what that you're looking at, right? And it's like, oh, I have to go here, and then there's new areas like, oh, this is pitch black dark forest down there, what's that? So they do those things very well. Well, better than others. Like, while I've been playing Ghost Recon Wildlands, if I didn't have waypoints and mission markers, no idea where to go. Like, Bolivia is hell to get around. Like, I hate driving in it. Like, I've tried to steal a helicopter every chance I get. Constantly pushing pins in the map, like, all right, there's the weapon case here. I gotta assassinate this guy. And I'm always following an arrow, you know? Because everything...
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. By the way, Brett, everything you said about the you know, the general layout of Breath of the Wild, I don't disagree with you, and I do I have noticed that too, where games are like, you know, you go to a mission, right? The character is just standing there. You talk to him, and then there's something on your map. I'm like, yo, you didn't even tell me where to go. Like, how do you know it's over there, motherfucker? You know. So I agree with you on that. But at the same time, I do feel that not every game like that has checkpoints. They still have a way for you to know. Like, for example, Red Dead Redemption. I know you don't like the game. You could actually turn all that shit off, and you actually have to listen to them, and they'll lead you to where to go. You know, you actually have to.
I actually really appreciated that about.
Yeah.
I honestly did. It's the Destiny Division.
Yeah. No, you're right about the Destiny Division. Like those, I think those games are the most guilty of it, dude. It's like, damn. Like, I do go to a guy, click A. There's three things on your map. I'm like, he didn't even talk. What the fuck? You know? Oh, man. But you know, anyway, good conversation, which filled up a good chunk of time. So that's always good. And the last question of the night, people. Do you think the massive popularity of Fortnite is giving game developers less incentive to be creative? Oh, man.
What is this one?
Well, with some, yeah, because they just... pop out of Battle Royale shit. Like, oh, that's all we need to do. do a shooter, make it a cartoony.
Everybody's out to make a buck.
We were saying that that's also could be said in the beginning of this generation when a game like a certain game like Titanfall and a certain game like Evolve came out, where essentially these sort of multiplayer focused sort of games, which don't really have a lot of work done on them, but they are something that are just concentrating more on gameplay than just that. Fortnite and a lot of those in PUBG are those same sorts of ideas, where it's just like a simple premise: you kill somebody, you kill everybody until the environment kills you.
Yeah,
sort of idea.
Yeah, no, and I think that's
where, like, here's the thing: like, I do think that it does allow for game studios to put out more games. I mean, like, look at how quickly the guys who made Apex Legends came out, with that game next to the previous Titanfall game, Titanfall 2.
Yeah, they just shitted it out, you know.
I think for a lot of studios that trying to catch that market, are trying to catch on that and just like, okay, be the next thing. In time, difficult markets because the only thing that anybody ever thinks of.
They see it as it's the thing that's hitting is hot right now, so everybody's just jumping on board.
Yeah, and they're going to jump on it and add their own sort of semi spin to it. And if they can't catch the cow, catch it right, the cash cow right when it is, they'll figure that okay, at least we can get a little bit of the runoff.
Oh man. Mm-hmm. What do you guys say about this? You think he's
killing innovation? No, I don't think it's killing innovation, but I do think that people, studios do think twice about doing it because of how easy it is to kind of sort of do.
Think about it. Ninja Theory is about to drop one of these fucking games, or something similar.
Yeah, but this has always been the case with when we first started seeing multiplayer modes pop up. Everyone's like, oh, well, this is going to take away from the main game. They're going to start focusing more on multiplayer because that's where everyone's playing. We're going to get all these deathmatch modes now. And sure enough, we saw that, even Uncharted, which you really didn't need it.
Let's be real. Yeah, you didn't.
Well, I mean, everybody felt the need to, a lot of companies felt the need to throw a half-baked online multiplayer mode.
That was huge for that.
That was it.
Exactly. Games. Yeah.
So now we got the Battle Royale. Now we're hearing horrible rumors that there is a Battle Royale mode in the work of Modern Warfare. No, they said there wasn't one coming. So,
well, I mean, isn't Black Ops 4 all Battle Royale?
But that's why people are flipping out, because here it is. You've got one for Black Ops 4. That's already out. Supposedly, did you see the last report? It made $800 million.
They're never going to stop.
$800 million in just content. Exactly. Yeah. But if that's still making money, and then in just a few months, we have another. If that has, you're splintering that audience. And then next year, you have another one, which they already confirmed. That will have a Battle Royale, because that is now skipping over the same studio, so now that one will be another block. It's so crazy. So it's like, what are you doing? I thought the whole point was have one big Battle Royale, then you'll have Modern Warfare, and then if people want to keep playing a Battle Royale, they'll do all that for the other one, which is still some money. But it doesn't, who knows? We'll see. It's right now, it's just a rumor information that says, but it's so crazy. It's all about making the money, like we said. Four, when it was just single player, multiplayer was a hot one. They had every game had to have a multiplayer mode. Okay, that sort of fizzled out. Now everybody wants to play a Battle Royale. Seeing that and everything helped. Tetris, all of them have one. So it's just going in that direction. And then soon after this has faded out, there'll be something else that we don't know about. Just the way it is.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. It'll be some other thing that's going to hit the wave. Right now, it's all about the Battle Royales,
Remember for mobile phones. With the whole thing, using your phone to go catch a Pokemon. Then they did a Ghostbuster one. Yeah, they did the Ghostbuster one. And they did a few other ones. And there's another new one that everyone's crazy over.
It's AR games. AR bandwagon.
Yeah, and that's it. And then you jump on it.
Yeah, I think, like, with big, like, again, with big studios, with EA and Activision, they don't want to take chances. They're like, Fortnite's hot. How do we incorporate Battle Royale? How do we do that? So you get Apex Legends, so you'll get Black Ops 4, you'll get another mode in Modern Warfare, and then a Call of Duty after that. They'll just keep doing it until it dries up. Like, you know, yeah, you run well, it into the ground. Same thing with like,
just like the movie industry with any like, other any of their sorts of things.
It's yeah,
like
they run it into the ground. Yeah.
So I mean, laziness. I don't think it's. I think there are some people that are just looking to jump in on the cash cow. But once that cow, once it's already, you know, given all of its milk, it'll probably just people just move on.
They'll put it on the back burner and bring it out like, again in a few years.
Is anybody playing Guitar Hero?
Yeah, right.
And they tried to bring that back. They ran that shit into the ground. Rock Band and Guitar Hero were hot.
Isn't the other one still around though? The other guitar game?
The services are still around. No, the guitar, the Rock Band is still around. The servers are still up. People still.
Yeah, but the other one, a Rocksmith, isn't that one still
Rocksmith
around?
Rocksmith is the one that teaches you.
That's a real one. That's not a joke.
Yeah, that's a real one.
That's a real one.
Guitar Hero is the real one. That's the real one. That's the real one.
Just recently, wait a minute. Probably about like 7 months ago, I went to a Chuck E. Cheese and I played Guitar Hero. They have one of those guitar machines.
Oh yeah, I still got them.
Yeah, they're pretty. They're pretty good.
Got them.
I still got them.
But at home they're pretty much extinct.
But remember when everybody was playing those fucking games, man? Back in the day, you go to Best Buy, everybody's playing them at the kiosk and shit.
That people shit showing off and shit.
Bars. Yeah. I remember going to Bards. Bards had them in the back. They had that, and then they had a Wii next to it for bowling.
Oh shit!
Yeah, I'm like shit. I'm at a bar, and people were just in the back Wii bowling, you know, playing Guitar Hero in the other corner.
It's interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, great question. Whoever asked that.
You know? Yeah, we were still on Eurocar, but that was like 50 minutes ago. But that's what I love about Throwdown, man. We go on these cool little tangents, man. Give you that knowledge, you know? All right. So I think we're going to wrap it up because Discord's acting up. Fucking, I hate Google Hangouts, man. We have, you know, by the way, I said this on Twitter. It's just hilarious how we always have to rechange our format because technology because the services force us to, but we're still here, man. We're still kicking. And we're about to hit episode 250 of both episodes very soon, people. Throw down, man. We're like roaches, man. We don't die. We just keep going, you know? Throw a bomb at us. You know, fuck it. Damn, I got so much shit here now. Throw down schedule. Here we go. Okay. So how to submit your questions. So step one, you join our Discord. Step two, on Discord, you go to the Throw Down Your Questions section. And step three, you submit your questions. You limit them to two per episode and make sure they're about gaming people. You know, although that philosophy one was kind of interesting last week. But, you know, we let that shit slide because we had to fill up time, you know. Yeah, man. So that's it. Thank you for watching and listening. Leave us your questions in the Throw Down Discord server and we'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco and tonight's joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys. And yes, don't forget to pick up Excellence 3, which also this month Excellence 4 is coming. So that's also cool. And Contra Road Car is coming.
Yay. Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
It's been a pleasure, people.
Adam.
No, it hasn't. For now.
Have a good week.
And Brian Mungiome.
Apparently, Twitch is on some bullshit these days.
Uh-oh.
What they do, Ray?
I just hope people would just... Go ahead, Brian.
People would just be saying lots of groceries.
Yeah, oh, man. I just hope they don't use our channel to promote porno. We don't need that.
Yeah, right.
All right, man. We'll see you on Thursday, man. Later.
Later, guys.
Well, I mean, if they pay well.